when no one else can understand me, when everything I do is wrong. You give me hope and consolation. You give me strength to carry on.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View on KZSB AM 1290. I have to admit that is in my top five favorite Elvis songs during his Vegas period, which may be my favorite period of Elvis. There are so many and such an interesting man, but I will devote a whole show to Elvis someday, especially if you beg me to. If you'd like to call while we're having the segment Single Parent Dating, please do at area code 866-564-1290 or tweet me at Bruce Allen or call at 805 if you're local, 564-1290. Our next segment is Single Parent Dating, and I'm happy to report that we have Julie Spira back with us this week, our cyber dating expert. Julie is the best-selling author of The Perils of Cyber Dating, Confessions of a Hopeful Romantic Looking for Love Online. Today, she has been interviewed on, what was it, 14 different news outlets. She is a quite in-demand personality and expert on this subject, and I am very honored to have her. And welcome back, Julie.
Thank you, Bruce. Happy to be here. Happy Thursday.
It is Thursday, every Thursday. It is actually a highlight of my week, I must say. Given our topic, second marriages being harder, I would imagine you have a lot of thoughts since, given you're a certain age or not, if you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s, the odds are you are dating someone that has been divorced.
That's very true, and it's interesting, but it's very interesting that some of the studies that I have read have been showing that actually men, you know, that have been divorced, they're looking to get married, are really, really common online. People are so worried, oh gosh, they're looking for a quickie, they can't commit, they're serial daters. I find the complete opposite. I meet a lot of marriage-minded men, and they basically say they were married once before, and they'd like to get married again, but quite often they rush into it, or they'll pick a woman that's, you know, a much younger version of their prior wife, and they don't really have a lot in common, and those marriages tend to last 3 years.
Well, aren't the statistics also that men live longer married?
Oh, don't you love that one? Women live longer when they don't get married, and men live longer when they get married. And that's a really interesting statistic, because if you think at, let's say, our parents' generation, my father and mother have been married for over 55 years. I'm very happy that I have a mother and father, but typically, if a man becomes single, whether it's through divorce or death, they rush into the next relationship real quickly. They don't like being alone because they're used to having a companion. Even if the companionship wasn't the best, they tend to get married. Whereas women, if they get older, they look at these men and they go, you know, I didn't marry him. I didn't have children with him. I haven't spent 30 years with him. He's getting sick. Do I really want to be a caretaker? And if they're financially doing well and they don't need the money, they don't like getting married.
That is actually, I just have this big smile. It's kind of funny, but it is so true and practical. In assisted living facilities where I spent way too much time in my parents' declining years, the few single men were both in demand, and they were having a field day, but rarely did any of them get married again. Because, as you say, the women, they were happy for the companionship. They didn't want the hassle. They didn't want any of the fiscal issues.
Right.
They just enjoyed having a companion. So it's kind of it's funny. And the women do bond really well in the senior widow stage.
That's very true. But we also have to look at, you know, the economics. I hate to say the business of marriage, but if somebody's gone through a really bad divorce and it dragged out for 3 years and they lost, you know, half of their net worth, you know, the next person sort of bears the brunt of that. They get the monstrous prenup, and they have a lot of tension leading up to a marriage quite often about, you know, what's the exit plan going to be.
Wow, it's as if you're talking about my second marriage. My wife has so often declared that she feels, and I think she's not far off, that she is suffering for the pain that my first wife caused because of the divorce in some of my behavior. And sadly, it's true.
Right.
And so what you're saying hits home. It almost feels as if you were talking about me.
But you and everyone else, because I know in my case, okay, I'm divorced, and that's just the way it worked. The person I ended up marrying was not the person for me. But I know that as I was looking at future relationships, I'm looking at meeting people who basically they stick a piece of paper in front of you and go, well, here's the deal if it doesn't work out, because they don't want to be left with nothing. And so you're not alone on that. I wish we could all have this happily ever after romantic fantasy that there's not a business element to it. But when you're getting married later in life and you hope it's forever, and your second one, you've learned from the mistakes in the first one and what you might want better the next time around, you learn from these mistakes and you move forward, but you can't help but bring that prior history with you.
You have raised a question that ironically has been somewhat of a theme of today's show, which is the business of marriage. We had Jim Scheinberg on, who joined us for our segment, Family Financial Matters, and he talked about exactly this issue. Do you think, as a woman, when you said when a man puts that piece of paper in front of you, is there any way a man, or for that matter a woman, but I don't think it's as difficult for a woman, but is there any graceful way to handle that?
There's no graceful way, because you know you both have to have separate attorneys, and it becomes it's almost like you're planning your divorce, and it gets really uncomfortable. I think some of the things that you can do that might make it better is look at each other and say, let's come up with sort of a hybrid plan. All right, I'm not an attorney. I'm just kind of throwing this out there. Let's come up with a hybrid plan, and let's just say we're going to create this piece of paper, and after X amount of years, 5 years, we're going to toss it away. I mean, maybe that'll make somebody feel better about, you know, being with someone for the long haul and not always wondering, is my term about to expire?
Can I take that idea and put a 3 in front of the 5?
Okay, put a 3 in front of the 5.
Yeah, 35 years from now, I'm willing to do that.
Ah! 35 years!
I'm kidding. But I think the idea is incredibly good, because then you're softening the blow. And this is where, and I don't know if you'll agree with me, I believe this is where the gender differences raise their head. Without fail, the woman tends to say, if you really love me, you wouldn't be asking this.
Okay, but I'm going to throw it right back at you.
Oh.
Okay, I don't like to talk too much about my personal life, but I did have a prenuptial agreement that I presented to my husband, who said, if you really loved me, you wouldn't make me sign this.
Well, he's the only man that has ever done that. I was talking about every other man.
And so it was the other way around. And so, you know, lots of women use that line, if you really love me, you wouldn't make me sign this. So typically the first piece of paper that shows up isn't the one that eventually gets signed. You have to sort of, you know, try and realize that you're in love and you want to share your life together. But if you have children, you want to protect your children as well.
Well, that is the issue that is really fundamental and was and is an issue for me, bringing children into my second marriage. And for any parent bringing children in, that is a predominant concern. Like you said, it's indelicate. There's just no way around it.
It's no different than if you have like a very serious medical condition, or if you have an STD. When are you going to tell somebody you have the STD? It's not going to be a great conversation.
What's an STD? I'm kidding. I actually do know what that is. It's the special model of the Cadillac. I think it's the SUV, isn't it?
Right, with a typo, with a very good typo.
That's what I thought. Okay. Wow, this is kind of, it's a heavy subject. I didn't realize we were going to go this way, but I like it, and we're almost out of time, so I think I'll turn the last 30 seconds over to you as far as anything else you'd like to add.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. I hope that your listeners can find me on my Facebook page if you just go to facebook.com/cyberdatingexpert, or you can visit my site, cyberdatingexpert.com. And I'd be happy to hear from any of your single listeners that really need their hand held, because I truly am very passionate about helping singles find love online.
And she's good at it, too. I can vouch for that. Thank you, Julie, for joining us again. It just zooms by. I look forward to the day when we do a whole show together, which we're talking about. And I look forward to talking with you next week, if all is well.
Okay, terrific. Thank you.
Bye, Julie.
Bye-bye.
It is time for another break. You have one last chance to call me if you'd like, or to tweet me at Bruce Salen, or to email me. And in addition to joining Julie's excellent Facebook page, please do join A Dad's Point of View, the page on Facebook, where we have over 2,400 moms and dads from around the world. You are listening to KZSB AM 1290, The Bruce Salen Show, on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Gonna beat every last bugging gang on the whole fucking street, on the whole fucking street.